Tell you, Reverend, one of the names of Elijah Devon, minister of the 12th hour, apostolic side of Turing congregation outside the 12th hour, in the Elgin, Texas. Today is October 15, 2023, or it is the first day of Bull. That's a new moon Sabbath. Breath in the Soul by Elijah David. Song that I've written February 26, 2006. I used to like the things that meant good to me, just like the world thought it would be. A little okay, it's a sample, it's part of me. But just like sinning, that's what it is. Started out with a little kiss and ended up with bills long overdue. After I started having enough, a sample of all that wonderful stuff, I went to the yard and threw in the towel. He asked me what changed my mind. I said, look, too much of that red wine, and besides that, feel it again, clean, wet, the ground. Well, the burden of the hour is breath and the soul, something that I'll never let go, something that means more than tongue can tell. Rising up early, going to bed late, in the quiet hours to meditate, and then I fall asleep, for all is well. I used to like the things that appealed to me, just like critters I couldn't see. Couldn't say the hours were to save my soul. Then one day I opened his book, something that I longed for so, something that I had never known. The end of the spirit as I began to read, I soon discovered I had a great need to be baptized in the likeness of his death. I long for the day to be like him, to be free from sin and whole again. I close my eyes and see red. Being born of the Spirit and washed in the blood, quenching the fire like nothing else does, fills you with his love now and eternally. So take hope, brother, and don't you let go. I wrapped his love all around your soul, put it on display for all the world to see. The bird of the hour is breath and soul, something that I'll never let go, something that needs more than tongue can tell. Rising up early, going to bed late, and if I had hours of meditate, then I fall asleep, for all is well. And then I fall asleep, for all is well. We're going to do our second service, taken from 2 Timely Greetings, volume number 42. We're going to continue on with Vicky Hardiff. And the name of the sermon is That Which Is to Be During the Time of the End. And we certainly are in the time of the end. And if we ever need to hear this sermon, it is now, especially on the New Moon Sabbath, at the Yahweh's appointed time, is the time to give these sermons. And so it says, we will start, as we bow our heads for a word of prayer, we're going to start with a prayer and then we're going to go into the sermon. Okay. It says, Vicky Hollis, November 27th, 1948. In order to know what takes place during the time of the end, and that's the time that we're in right now. If we ever have been in the time of the end, we have arrived at this time. We must first know where the time of the end begins and ends. We must know both ends if we are to know what takes place between Now, to find when the time of the end begins, let us turn to Daniel 11:40. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with the chariots and with the horsemen, and with the many ships. And he shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow and pass over. In this verse of the scripture, there are five clues to be carefully noted. Number one, that the war mentioned in the verse is the last conflict between the two kings recorded in the prophecy of Daniel 11. Number two, that it is a losing war for the king of the south, which is an Arab king. This is the king of the south is a Muslim. He's a Palestinian. Number three, that it is fought at the time of the end, not before, in, or after. Number four, that the king of the north becomes great, while the king of the south declines. And number five, that the statement, at the time of the end, shall the king of the south push at him, very obviously marks the beginning of the time of the end. Now today is a new moon Sabbath. This is the year of 2023. And this is the fall of the year. We're in the eighth month of the year, biblical year. And they are having war in Israel today between the Palestinians, the king of the south, and the king of the north. Now Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel today, he represents the king of the north because he is the number one prime minister of Israel that's against the Palestinians. So we have to look at it that way. If therefore we find the year this prophesied war began, we shall have established the beginning of the time of the end. Now can you imagine Vitellus made this sermon about nearly 70 years ago, and yet the time of the end that he's talking about is just now arrived? And he was prophesying this 70 years ago. Since the king of the south pushes at the king of the north, it follows that the king of the south is the aggressor, feels himself strong to attack. He nevertheless loses out, and the king of the north overruns him, becomes great, takes many countries, including the following. Daniel 11:41. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab. Edom and Moab has been established as your Palestinians. They are your Arabs in the land of Israel. And the chief of the children of Ammon. All three of these, Edom, Moab, and Ammon, are Arabs. They're Palestinians. They're the descendants of Lot, the nephew of Abraham. Here it is seen that the king of the north grows very great during the time of the end, for he takes the glorious land, Palestine, and besides taking many other countries, he also takes Edom and Moab, and Ammon. Well, actually, it's Moab and Ammon that are the descendants of Lot. Edom is a descendant of Isaac, believe it or not, which is Esau, the Arab countries. So he said he also takes Edom and Moab and Ammon, the Arab countries, okay, which nevertheless in time escape out of his hand. Free themselves, moreover, says the scripture, Daniel 11:42. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. So here's the land of Egypt, which is another Arab country. This definitely shows that in the time of the end, one great power, which has been ruling these countries, among which are included Egypt and Palestine, loses them and becomes small, while another power takes them and waxes even greater. For centuries, the Ottoman Empire, that's your Turks, empire ruled these countries. And history records that the first Turkish reverses on land occurred about 1699. Ever since, Turkey has been declining and the Christian nations gaining. But it is in Great Britain in particular that has taken the countries mentioned by the name in this prophecy. She is the one who has taken many other countries besides these and has waxed great during the decline of the Ottoman Empire. Obviously, therefore, these historic facts, besides others we have not mentioned, prove that rising from the jungles south of Palestine, the Ottoman Empire next after the Ptolemies, holds the title of King of the South. And the nations north of Palestine, the Christian nations rising from the Roman Empire, now Great Britain in particular hold the title of King of the North. And since the decline of the Ottoman Empire began in 1699, and the growth of the British Empire began during the same time, then the beginning of the 18th century is therefore the beginning of the time of the end. Okay, finally, since we now see that the wars of the Mohammedans, that's also your Arabs, that's your Muslims today, with the Christian nations, that's your Protestants, are mentioned in prophecy, with the special emphasis that Egypt and Palestine are, during the time of the end, ceded to the King of the North as part of his trophies. These kings are positively identified, and the fall of the one with the growth of the other after the Treaty of the Kolowitz in 1699, by which Mesopotamia, the two agreed to renounce his claims upon Transylvania and a large part of the Hungary, to give up Maria to the Venetians, to restore Polesia and the Ukraine to Poland, and to leave Azov to the Russians. 20th Century Cyclopedia, Volume 6, page 247, certainly establishes the beginning of the time of the end. Daniel 11, 43 and 44. But he shall have power over the treasures of the gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him, therefore he shall go forth with a great fury to destroy, and to utterly to make away many. These verses reveal that after taking Egypt and Palestine, the king of the north enters into another war, not on account of the king of the south, not with the Turkey, but rather due to rumors from the east and from the north that trouble him. These cause him to go forth with a great fury to destroy many. But he conquers nothing worth mentioning, and according unto the verse that follows, he is afterwards threatened with coming to his end. This particular war, therefore, brings the first reverses to the king of the north since the reverses of the king of the south in 1699. Germany and Russia from the north, also Japan from the east, the rumors which put Great Britain and her allies into the World War II are therefore the tidings which broke the war and which, though supposedly the war was won, weakened rather than strengthened the British Empire. Daniel 11:45. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. The only portion of Daniel 11 yet to be fulfilled is this verse, the last of the chapter. And since these prophecies are made to be understood only when they are being fulfilled or after the fulfillment, verse 45 is not as clear as we should like to have it. Consequently, concerning the place of his tabernacles and his end, also as to whether another Christian power shall inherit the title King of the North, before verse 45 is fulfilled, only time itself will positively portray the whole truth. For the thing that inspiration makes altogether clear is the fact that the king's next stand is his end, while all look and listen, but none come to his help. Since we have established the time of the beginning of the time of the end, let us now establish the end of the time of the end. For light on the subject, we turn to Revelation 19:19-21. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of the fire burning with the brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. For the beast, the false prophet, and the remnant are here mentioned. Who are they? First the beast and the false prophet, and then the remnant. Those that are left are cast into the lake of fire. Since the beast and the prophet are special world entities, the remnant, those that are left, represent the rest of the unrepentant world sympathetic with the beast and the prophet. For the destruction of the prophet, the beast, and the remnant, therefore, is the end of the world, the terminus of the time of the end. Besides these verses of the scripture, the 20th chapter of the Revelation reveals that with this last premillennial event and the drama of sin, the millennial reign of Yeshua and the church, this would be the kingdom of David, that we in the 12th parabolic yard, this is the kingdom that Yahweh has put my wife and I in charge of, Catherine and Elijah David, begins Revelation 20:1-3. In the end of which time shall arise all who had no part in the first resurrection. Revelation 20:5-6. So this is what's going to take place now with our kingdom. We have finally arrived at that time when we're going to start seeing resurrection of people clear back to Adam. What a glorious time to be living in. What a glorious kingdom to be in charge of. The kingdom that brings forth this first dominion, starting all the way back to Adam. Now we have seen that the time of the end spans from the commencement of the decline of the Ottoman Empire in 1699 until the end of the world, and that the end of the world is the end of all people, but the church, the everlasting kingdom of David, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, with Yahshua sitting upon the throne of David, and this purified church, which is a purified section of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, those who lived and reigned with the Yahshua 1,000 years. Let us now see what takes place between these two signposts. We shall continue with Daniel's prophecy through the Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of the trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now this is where we're at today. We're in that very time period now where Yahshua is to appear at his appointed time. And his appointed time is right here in this 12th hour that we're in now. And at that time, that is, at the time that the king of the north comes unto his end, Daniel 11:45, shall Michael stand up and deliver his people, the purified church of David, the everlasting kingdom of heaven that set up in the days of his king, Daniel 2:44 and 45. All who are written in the book, what else takes place? Well, I want to make sure that my name is written in this book. That's why I do what I do. Daniel 12:2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Here is projected a resurrection of a mixed multitude, wicked and righteous, foolish and wise. This resurrection then is not the premillennial first resurrection, nor the postmillennial resurrection of the wicked, Revelation 20, verse 5 and 6, but a special one. If the wise who turn many to righteousness are of the resurrected in this special resurrection, and if they shine as the stars forever and ever, then this special resurrection takes place in the probationary time, and that would be in this 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now. What a grand and awesome privilege to be living at this time, and especially be placed in charge of this kingdom that witnesses this special event. Daniel 12:4. That thou, O Daniel, set up the words and seal the book, even unto the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. For the understanding of the book and of the words of it were to be sealed until the time of the end. During the time of the end, therefore, the book was to be opened, knowledge was also to increase. Moreover, many were to run to and fro, that is, communication was to speed up greatly. All this we have already seen take place during the time of the end. Thus, there is no room for the doubt as to the time in which we are living, the time of the end. Daniel 12:8-10. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Yahweh, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Well, I'm saying that I represent that section of the wise here in this kingdom, that I am been placed at the leadership of these wise people. that are going to experience understanding this vision of Daniel when it's opened up here in the time of the end. Okay? Here, inspiration itself explains that no one, not even Daniel himself, could possibly understand the book before the time of the end. And we can't either. And if I did it clear to you that we are now being made to understand the time, understand this vision, then the time has arrived then. The time of the end has arrived. And two, while the wicked were to continue doing wickedly, many were to be purified, made white and tried, that is, the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church about the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, was to take place during the time, is to take place during the time of the end. This is present tense. And the words of the prophet Malachi about the cleansing of the sanctuary is preceded by this announcement. Malachi 3:1-3. Behold, I will send my messenger. Now this messenger is speaking to you right now. Malachi 3:1-3. And that's his antitypical Elijah. I don't care what anybody says about it. And he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Well, how is he going to come to his temple if this messenger of the covenant hasn't prepared the way and set this temple up? This is what I was talking about to my wife a while back. We got the provisions now, and the means whereby we can buy a place, a building, if it opens up. We can actually set up a temple for this to happen. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, this messenger of the covenant whom you delight in is this antitypical Elijah, Malachi 4:5. He shall come, saith the Yahshua of the host, but who may abide the day of his coming? And he shall stand when he appears, for he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering in righteousness. Rather than say sanctuary, inspiration in this instance says temple. And rather than say cleansing, it uses the terms refining and purifying. For the apostle Peter, though, chooses to call the cleansing of the sanctuary the judgment and the house of Yahweh. And lo and behold, that's 1 Peter 4:17. And that's happened in Kermit, Texas, starting with Brother Johnson, starting at the Passover 2002. That's when this met its fulfillment. 1 Peter 4:17-18, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of the Mount Gilead at Gilead, Kermit, Texas, in 2002, starting at the Passover of Yahweh. And if it first began at us, with Brother Johnson as our minister, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? In other words, that don't practice the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the sanctuary on a daily basis. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the unrighteous and the sinner appear? In the parable, however, Yahshua explains the cleansing of the sanctuary thus, Matthew 13:30, that both go together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Well, in 2002, at Kermit, Texas, when this judgment began at the house of Yahweh, Gilead Center, Brother Johnson and his people that followed him, that had apostatized, represented the tares that were bound in bundles to be burned. Those that represented the wheat were those that continued on with present truth that was being unfolded at that time in front of me, starting to pass over 2002. My wife and I are the last two that continued on, and we received the commission then to open up the judgment of the living, the 12th parabolic hour, and to announce the fifth group of laborers, Matthew 20, verse 6, that were called at the 11th hour. We were this people. And that's what we represent here today. Here it is made clear that in this instance, the wicked among the righteous are likened to terrors, and the time of the cleansing itself, the judgment, is likened unto a harvest. But that the cleansing itself is likened unto a separation of the wheat and tares. Again, in verse 47 and 48, Yahshua draws a parallel between the church's net, a net for the people, he likens them to fish, and the purification unto a separation, whereas in Matthew 25, he calls the purified church, the kingdom of Yahweh. That would be that kingdom mentioned there in Daniel 2, 44 and 45. In the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, left to other people. And that is the everlasting kingdom of David, tribe of Judah, lawgiver, with his son Yahshua, actually setting this kingdom up himself. And the people he likens unto virgins. And the cleansing he illustrates by a door which lets in the wise but keeps out the foolish. But his second parable of Matthew 25, the separation, we are told, is to be like a master who comes to reckon with his servants, those who have done nothing good for the advancement of his kingdom, who have not traded with and increased his talents, Matthew 25:27, or cashed out. There's a gnash of teeth and the outer darkness, Matthew 25:30. And this third parable, the separation, he likens unto a shepherd who separates the goats from the sheep, sinners from the saints. The goats are condemned to die, but the sheep are given the right to the kingdom. This is where we're at, folks. The kingdom is here now. The kingdom is set up. For the prophet Ezekiel, however, explains the cleansing of the sanctuary from still another angle. Ezekiel 9:1, 2, 4, and 7. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man had a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them was clothed with a linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And Yahshua said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry, for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And unto the others he said in mine hearing, go you after him through the city and smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. And that's Metis fulfillment, starting at the Passover 2002 at Kermit, Texas. And Vertus Johnson was that ancient man before the house that's mentioned there in Ezekiel 9:6. It started with the ancient men before the house. And that met its fulfillment at the Passover 2002 at Kermit. Then they began at the ancient man, Lotus W. Johnson, that was in charge of the candlestick of Laodicea at Kermit, Texas, Gilead Center, 2002. Begin with him, which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth, and they went forth and slew in the city. Besides this vivid illustration, inspiration through the prophet, Daniel reveals that the sanctuary is to be cleansed not only from sinners, but from the doctrinal error too. For one angel inquired, Daniel 8:13-17, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of the desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Then shall the sanctuary, yeah. Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. So we're at the time of the end. Now we're to understand all of these prophecies now concerning the fulfillment of this here cleansing of the sanctuary that Daniel prophesied about. For the daily, the desolation, also the sanctuary and the host pertain both to the doctrines and the people. That daily is at 9 o'clock and at 3 o'clock, or as we start the 9 at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we start the 3 o'clock at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The daily, the desolation, also the sanctuary and the host pertain both to the doctrines and the people. Both are to be cleansed, and the angel explains that the cleansing of the sanctuary, cleansing it from both error and hypocrisy, takes place after the 2,300 days during the time of the end. So now we are in the time of the end, and that more notably starting 2023. Moreover, through the prophet Zechariah, the Yeshua makes another remarkable illustration, which points out that the saints themselves also are to be cleansed. Okay, so it says, Zechariah 3:1-5, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Yahshua, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Yahshua said unto Satan, the Yahshua rebuked thee, O Satan, even the Yahshua that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with the filthy garments and stood before the angel. Now B.T. Hollis says this Joshua, in another place, this is antithetical Elijah as well. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with the garments, and the angel of Yahweh stood by. Well, we have already seen that the house of Yahweh is to be cleansed from the error and from the hypocrites. Here in the Zechariah's prophecy, we see that the saints themselves are cleansed from their sins, their filthy garments are taken away and clean, and beautiful garments are given in their place. This phase of the cleansing is again illustrated by the wedding garment of Matthew 22:11. And now, let me remind you that after the tares are taken away, the wheat is not left on the field where it grew. That is, the saints are not left where they were, but it is put into the barn. Furthermore, after the bad fish, the hypocrites, are cast out, the good fish, the saints, are then put into the vessel, are not left in the net, not left in the place where the cleansing occurred. Consequently, when the church is thus cleansed, the saints are removed from their former place and put in a safe place away from all worldly influences and environments. Having been cleansed, they are necessarily thus kept clean. And where is that place? The Revelator has the answer. Revelation 14:1. 4 and 5. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sinai, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whosoever he goeth. These are, were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Yahweh and unto the Lamb, and in their mouth is found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Yahweh. For the cleansed ones you see are the 144,000, and they are taken to Mount Zion. Plainly then, the cleansing is in two sections. The 144,000 guileless servants who are sealed from among the tribes of Israel, Revelation 7, 4-7, the church, the Seventh-day Adventist church, are but the first fruits. They are taken to Mount Zion, Sion. That's in the land of Israel. Finally, after purification or cleansing of the Seventh-day Adventist church has taken place, then the great multitude of the Revelation 7-9 are gathered out of all nations. Now, this cleansing of the Seventh-day Adventist church, it began with Willis Johnson, 2002, at Kermit, Texas. That's when this met its fulfillment, 2002, going to Passover. I prophesied it before Passover 2002. I prophesied that in 2001, that this Passover 2002, between Passover and the Atonement of 2002, that Verlis Johnson would come to his end. I prophesied it. I give it to Verlis Johnson in 2001, that message. Then the great multitude of the Revelation 7-9 are gathered out of all nations. They constitute the second fruits, for where there is no second, there can be no first. Where is Mount Zion? Let Micah the prophet tell us. Micah 3:12, 4:1-2. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house of the high places of the forest. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain, which is that's the mountain of the house of the Yahshua, shall be established in the top of the mountains. That's all the churches of Israel all over the world. That's the Adventist churches, in other words. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up unto the mountain. This is the mountain that we are representatives of right now. This mountain that's hewn out of the mount, that's Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. And the house of the Yahweh of Jacob. And he will teach us of his way, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth to the Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. This is inspiration's own explanation of the place which the purified church is to occupy. Here we are told that though the ancient kingdom, the Jewish, whose place stood on Mount Zion, Z-I-O-N, was to be demolished from the foundation up, we are nevertheless at the same time promised that the kingdom, this everlasting kingdom of heaven that set up these last days, Daniel 2:44-45, will be restored in the last days, and that it will be exalted above all other kingdoms, above all mountains and hills. Now, can you imagine that we are privileged to be represented of this mountain? Again, says the Yahshua, Ezekiel 36:23-25, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen. Now, who are these heathen? These are your terrors in the Adventist church. These are your heathen. They have apostatized. They become heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Yahshua, saith Yahshua, when I shall be sanctified in you, the house of David, the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and give you out of all the countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. We are here told that the final cleansing of the saints The cleansing that removes all the marks of sin is performed after Yahweh takes His people from among the heathen and from all countries and brings them into their own land. That's why He's cleansing the land today, the land of Israel, preparing for this very event to take place. He's got to cleanse out the heathen. He's got to cleanse out them Palestinians. That's why that war is going on right this very day, to cleanse out the whole land of Israel. We are here told that the final cleansing of the saints, the cleansing that removes all the marks of sin, is performed after Yahweh takes His people from among the heathen and from all countries and brings them into their own land. Ezekiel 36:20. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Jeremiah 8:20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the land, moreover, shall be divided among the tribes, but not as divided anciently. Time will not permit me to read the whole account of the division, but here I have it reproduced in a map which shows that the land has never yet been thus divided. Each tribe is to get a full-length strip from the east to the west. The portion of Dan is the first on the north, and the portion of Gad is the last on the south. In chapters 47 and 48 of Ezekiel, you will find a full description of this division of the land. Furthermore, the land itself shall be cleansed, for says the Yeshua. Ezekiel 38:14-16. Ezekiel 39:4-7, 9-14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, that's unto the Arab nation. We have a correction here. We're going to have to, I'll skip some. We're going to go to page 36. It says, when the saints get to the promised land, then the sin-indulgent heart, the stony heart, is taken away, and a heart of righteous desires, a fleshly heart, is given. No longer will Yahweh's people fight temptations from within in order to do righteousness unto them in the period of the fleshly heart. It will be natural to do righteousness, whereas now during the period of the stony heart, it is natural to do unrighteousness. Ezekiel 36:27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. For the spirit of Yahweh, moreover, will be freely given unto the saints, and thus will they become perfect, eternal beings, perfectly capable of walking in Yahweh's statutes and His judgments. Ezekiel 36:28. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. They are to dwell not in some other land, says the Yahweh, but in their own land, in the land He had anciently given unto their fathers. They are to dwell in Palestine. Now you plainly see that the unconverted Jew who are endeavoring to take the land of Palestine are not the people of whom these passages of Scripture speak. And that's happening right today. They're having a war in Israel today because these Palestinians are trying to take the land that is not theirs. Now, you see that Arab, Jew, or Gentile all will eventually have to move away and give room to Yahweh's clean and purified people. 3:1-2. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and parted my land. Here you have it stated as plain as it can be that when Yahweh brings back the captivity of His people, Then he will gather all nations in the valley of the Jehoshaphat and plead for his people for his second fruits after he takes the first fruits, 144,000, to Mount Zion. Isaiah 2:3. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yeshua, unto the house of the Yahweh of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yeshua from Jerusalem. Joel 3:20-21. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Yahshua dwelleth in Mount Zion at the 12th hour, in the kingdom of David upon his throne. Luke 1:32-33, Isaiah 9:6-8. Thus will the saints be enabled to live eternally. Isaiah 33:24. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. And what else will be said after the people are gathered and cleansed? Just this. Revelation 22:11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. For the completion of the cleansing brings probationary time unto a close. The sinner is forever to stay a sinner, and the righteous forever righteous. Then those who find themselves out of the Holy Land will wail and gnash their teeth. They will in anguish say, Jeremiah 20, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Then I've already read this, but I'll read it again. For the land moreover shall be divided among the tribes, but not as divided anciently. For time will not permit me to read the whole account of the division, but here I have it reproduced in a map, which shows that the land has never yet been thus divided. Each tribe is to get a full-length strip from the east to the west, for the portion of Dan is the first on the north, and the portion of Gad is the last on the south. In chapters 47 and 48 of Ezekiel, you will find a full description of this division of the land. Furthermore, the land itself shall be cleansed, for it says the Yahshua, Ezekiel 38:14, 16:39, 4:7, 9-14, Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto God, Thus saith the Yahshua, and that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land, it shall be in the latter days. And we have all the Arab nations right now that are converging on the land of Israel, fulfilling this prophecy right here that I'm just reading. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, the Arab nations, before their eyes. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy band, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and unto the beasts of the field to be devoured. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people, Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Yahshua, as the Holy One in Israel. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall sit on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows and the hand staves and the spears. And they shall burn them with the fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, for they shall burn their weapons with the fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith Yahshua. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto God, that's those Arabs, nations, a place of graves in Israel. the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and they shall stop the noses of the passengers, and they shall they bury Gog and all of his multitude. So all those Arab that comes against Israel, that surrounds Israel, all those nations are going to be destroyed. And all the people, every last one. And they shall call it the Valley of Hamengar. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be unto them a renown, the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Yahshua. And they shall sever out men of the continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it. After the end of the 7 months shall they search. Still, further, you will now note that all these wonders Yahweh does for his people, not because they have been good or because they are now good, but for Yahweh's own great name. Listen unto what the Yahshua himself said. Ezekiel 36:22-24. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yahshua, this is the Son, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Yahshua, saith the Yahshua, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and get you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. According to this, Yahweh the Father restores the land unto his chosen people, not because they as a people are good, but because he wants to vindicate his own name among the heathen, and those heathen are your Arab nations. As the time approaches for the cleansing to take place, a call for the spiritual awakening will be made. Isaiah 52:1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. For the inspiration here declares that after this call for the revival and reformation, from then on, the sinners will not be permitted to have any part among the people that have been cleansed. For the prophet Nahum, too, is a witness of this call for the reformation. For he writes, Nahum 1:15, Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee, he is utterly cut off. Here you see that the announcement of this long-expected event is to be made by someone's publication. And whose publication would that be? It would be Elijah David's. Now that he has published it today. I have published this today. This going on record. This will go to Africa, to our people in Africa. This message will go all over Africa and all over the world. Moreover, he publishes peace, and thus announces the restoration of the kingdom. And that's what I'm announcing right at this very moment. The restoration of this kingdom. It starts right now. Right today. This is the only peace that the world can have. There is to be no other. Those who keep Yahweh's solemn feast and perform their vows shall have this peace. None others shall. In our study today, we have summarized some of the things which will take place during the time of the end, but the most important thing so far as you are concerned is the decision you are now left to make. This strength end of our study, this hour contact, this is the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.
Come the Father, every blessing. Come the Father, every blessing. In my heart to sing thy praise, strings of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me sovereignty, adore thee, until thy goodness proves how the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Thus recite me when a stranger, wandering from the foes of yore, he to rescue me from danger interposes precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter in a closer still to thee. Cold if one day I feel it, cold beneath the yoke of love, is my heart of faith and sealed, sealed for thy course of love.